Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode, I am excited because we are still in the book of Proverbs, and we know that this book is full of words of wisdom coming from King Solomon. And I also say that, or suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops or tablets or Bible apps or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up graciously a chat room that you can go into and you can have dialogue with me. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank all of you who are out there who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. Your comments and advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I assure you that I'm using. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou what thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. That's from Matthew chapter 19, 21. Now, the promise is that you will have treasure in heaven if you give up what you're doing and you follow Jesus. That is your perfection, to follow Jesus. And the promise is that you will have heaven as your reward. Jesus said again, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. This is taken from Mark chapter 1, verse 17. The promise is that you will be provided for if you follow Jesus. That is what Jesus is saying here. And this is taken from Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus says again, take heed how you hear, for whatsoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. The promise is that you will receive more if you listen to what Jesus says and you perform it. And those who don't listen, even if they have something that comes from the Lord, it will be taken from them and given to those who are obedient to him. Again, the promise for the hour is, are you standing on these promises from Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, let's let it be known that the Bible is written in code. My precious brothers and sisters, that means it's in mysteries, secrets, or parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we are on the air tonight, to study and learn together. That's why if you have a question, dial in and talk to me, and let's consider it so everyone can benefit from it. Okay, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verse 16. And I would tell you that as most times what the verse is saying is the exact example or instruction that I'm trying to make. And in this particular reading and lesson, it is true that verse 16 says, well, keep in mind this instruction. A just man may fall seven times, but rise up again. And this is exactly what the verse is telling us. For a just man may fall seven times and rise up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. That's the addition. Now, you may realize that you are in a state, and we all are in a state of mishap because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. But if we follow the law, the law of God, we will continue to prosper. And this is how King David taught it to Israel. Listen to what King David said in chapter 34 of the Psalm, verse 15 through 21. Listen, this is what King David said to Israel. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil, to cut them off from the remembrance thereof from the earth. Now the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth him out of all his troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such it be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the souls of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You hear, my brothers and sisters? That is exactly why David or Solomon said a just man may fall many times, but he'll rise up again if he holds to righteousness. Now, let's look at our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39 is going to give us the complement. And this is what the New Testament says about that connecting the dot. Hebrews chapter 10, and it's verse 35 through 39. The writer says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are all not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believeth to the saving of the soul. Now, the Hebrew writer just told us that the just shall live by faith. And I see that we're at our first break. Let's take that break, and we'll continue with the lesson.
At a young age, we find ourselves searching for direction and purpose. While taking the time to observe the greats that have done this before us and modeling their footsteps to match our own. I have a fond memory of a leader like this. His name was Ralph Balducci, my 8th grade football coach. It was his first year coaching our team, but when he stepped on the field, you could see this passion and desire in his eyes. As the year went on, his belief in us grew stronger, and our own success started drawing our team closer together. Our belief in our shared values took us farther than just the game of football. Our friendship and trust in each other also grew stronger. It was all because of one man caring so much to inspire a young group of kids to achieve something great. Leadership is not a position awarded to an individual. It's the individual's desire to lay the foundation for others to follow and help them find the courage to do something that may otherwise seem impossible. We all need great leaders in our lives to help us through the hard times and inspire us to do great things. Because once we go through the experience of following great leadership, we find ourselves developing the leadership traits that will soon inspire the next group of individuals looking for direction and purpose. Become that next leader that uplifts others' motivation to develop the passion for opportunities yet to come.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with this particular lesson. We know that we are considering why a just man continues to possibly falter, but he always gets, and we know we substantiated that in the New Testament, where the just shall live by faith. And this is what I want you to realize about this particular instruction, that in Jesus is our justice. This is today. And Christ promised, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That's why we must continue to rise up as we experience what we are experiencing this side of eternity, regardless of the pitfalls that may be in front of us. We keep ourselves focused on Jesus as our justifier. And we know that, again, the Old Testament teaches us that we will be successful. And Isaiah says, thou shalt be kept in perfect peace, whose eyes are stayed on thee, because they trust in thee. It gives us the success of peace, if nothing else. Let's go back or turn back down to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 17 and verse 18, and this is the instruction, and then I'll read the text to you. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. Do you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That's something that we have to be aware of, that we should not be joyful when God corrects a problem that we're having with someone that is offensive to us, and think that it's because of their sin against us that they are being punished, which we can say that is the truth. We should not rejoice in it because we ourselves are sinners. That's what Solomon is trying to convey here. And if we go to Leviticus, we'll see in the law of Moses where this is being said to Israel by God. And this is where it says it. Turn your Bible sources with me to Leviticus chapter 19 and listen to how God instructs or how Moses instructs Israel to what God is commanding. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then verse 13 continues. It says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night till the morning. Another, verse 15 says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. And again, 17 and 18 completes the thought. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. These laws are telling us that we have to be careful. We should not rejoice when our enemies fall. In Matthew chapter 5, let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to see how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me your Bible sources to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 43 through verse 48. And this is what Jesus said concerning our enemies. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. This is critical. Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? But ye therefore be perfect, even as your heavenly Father in heaven which is perfect. So this is what Jesus is telling us, that we can't, or if we do, we are in violation of the law, that we do not rejoice over those who are fallen prey to sin, because we're all sinners. And that is something that we have to be very careful about, my precious brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that it is God's will that all mankind be saved. So we must show mercy and forgiveness when it's appropriate. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is required from the Lord God Almighty. Okay. Return back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to do a couple of more verses. We're going to look at verse 24 and 25 in Proverbs chapter 24. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The instruction is, do not say to the wicked, thou art righteous. Amen. Solomon told Israel, do not say to the wicked that thou art righteous. That is so important to know, my precious brothers and sisters, because that's encouraging sin, and we're not to encourage sin. Now, this is what Isaiah says about it in Isaiah chapter 5. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5 and listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. Listen to what Isaiah said to Israel. Isaiah says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it were a cart rope. Listen to what 20 and 23 concludes. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is key. Even Isaiah tells us that we are not to pacify the wicked for righteousness. We must be very careful. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. Let's go to, excuse me, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to see how it was put by Paul to the Thessalonians. In Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, or 6 and 7, and 13 through 15. Listen to what Paul instructed to the Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Paul says, now, I see that we're at our second break. Let's take our second break, and then we'll come back and complete the lesson.
For somebody going through tough times, for somebody struggling just to keep your head above water, you're trying, but things don't seem to be quite working out the way you planned. You thought you'd be in a different place at this season in your life, but you're still suffering.
You have no say-so in what happens to you, but you have a say-so in what you do about it. You have a determining voice into where your life can go. See, life is 10% what happens to you. It's 90% what you do about it. You get a setback. You get thrown off course. You lost your mama. That's dirt. But show me something that has grown into something beautiful that didn't have no dirt on it. You need dirt on you to develop, because dirt ain't just dirt. Dirt is fertilizer. Dirt is nutrient. Dirt gives you the strength for your seed to push through. You gotta have dirt on you to push through something. Everything you see that's beautiful starts out as a seed, but that seed got to get dirt on it. You got to have dirt on you to grow into what life got for you.
The only thing I want from you is that every single day when uncertainty creeps in, I need you to get up and I need you to go heavy on it. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, when you taste a little bit of blood and something happens that you didn't expect to happen, I need you to go heavy on it.
You gotta be willing to go after your hiccups. You gotta be willing to go after whatever has got your name on it. Sometimes you gotta fight your way over. Sometimes you gotta fight your way through. Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say, listen, I ain't got nobody else to encourage us right now. It's just me and you. But I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. And I'm fighting for me, or my house, or my children, or my brothers, or my sister, or my husband, or my vision, or my dream. I'm gonna stand right here, and I ain't giving up my children. I'm not giving up my money. No, stand. You can't keep quitting your whole life. You can't keep backing up, and you can't keep fainting, taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. After a while, there ought to be something in our life that we stand through. Sicknesses that you stood through, struggles that you stood through, weaknesses that you stood through, crises that you stood through, pressures that you stood through. That is where character is developed. That that's what defines our destiny when you are in the middle of transition.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what we're doing is we're looking at this particular instruction. Do not say to the wicked, thou art righteous. And we already heard what the proverb is, what Solomon said about it, and what Isaiah also amplified on it concerning do not do that. And now we're looking at what Paul is teaching the Thessalonians concerning that. And this is what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. He said, look, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from everybody, every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which ye received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And verse 13 through 16 completes the thought or the instruction. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now Paul is telling us in this, or telling the Thessalonians, that the wicked, you do not part with those who are disorderly or wicked. And you do not sanction them. You do not prompt them, saying that they're okay, because they're not okay. And now what we're going to do is go to the book of Revelation just to cement this thought. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. And this is how the Spirit gives instructions about this. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is so critical. But I have a few things against thee, the Spirit is saying to the church at Pergamos, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrines of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou there also them among you that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Repent. Do not associate with them, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. My precious brothers and sisters, if you are caught in the pacification, you will also be found guilty, and the requirement of you will be punishment. Now, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 24, and look at instructions 28 and 29. In Proverbs 24, and again, the text, before I read it, this is what I want you to keep in mind as the instruction. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause. Do you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? False witnessing is out of order. And we know that God said that in his first commandments to Israel. Audibly, he spoke these words to Israel on Mount Sinai as it quaked and burned. Thou shalt not do false witnessing against thy neighbor. This is what David says to Israel concerning that. This is Proverbs 24, verse 28 and 29. Excuse me. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Listen, my brothers and sisters, we must forgive. And we must be very careful how we even witness against anyone to be misinterpreted as being false. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy. We're going to hear what Moses drilled or rehearsed to Israel concerning this. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Look at verse 14 through 19, and this is what Moses said about it. Deuteronomy chapter 19, and we're looking at verse 14 through 19. Listen to what Moses told Israel. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old times have set in thy inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land of the Lord that God giveth thee to possess it. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified against his brother falsely, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shall ye put the evil away from among you. You see how serious it is to be a false witness? We got to be very careful, my precious brothers and sisters, involving ourselves in that. Now let's go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is going to give us a comparison and agreement. This is going to connect the dot concerning false witnessing. This is Jesus giving instructions in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Listen to what Jesus says, my precious brothers and sisters. Moreover, Jesus said, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two witnesses, that in the mouth of the two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. So that is orders when we are witnessing. We must be very careful not to produce or give the air of false witnessing. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be very careful about our witnessing, because the world has established false witnessing as a truth. In segregation, discrimination, and the like. Those are just two examples. So we don't want to be immoral against God. That is key. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 25 now. We're going to look at a new set of instructions in Proverbs chapter 25. And I see, well, let's see. Proverbs chapter 25 is going to be our, and I do see we are at another break. Let's take this break, and we'll continue with the lesson.
When you are tired, you must be very careful that you do not become dehydrated. You have got to drink this water. You have got to drink this word. You have got to drink this worship. You have got to move away from wells that will never quench your thirst. And you have got to receive the water that flows from within. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the reason that you came to church today is God wanted to give you water. He knows you're tired. He knows you're thirsty. He hung on a cross and said, I thirst too. He stretched his arms this wide because he was tired tired of it too. And the man who was God became man, and he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And he said to the woman, and he said to me, and he said to you, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the shepherd. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the vine. I am the seventh man. I am the seventh man. I am the well. I am within you. You will never get what you need from out there. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. I know you're not in a church building. There's no worship leader to tell you lift your hands. Will you do it anyway? I know there's not a feeling telling you right now to have hope. Can you hope anyway? It is a well that springs up from within. It is a well that men did not dig. It is a well that does not consult external situations. It is the well of the Holy Spirit. And God said, I came all this way to sit with you, to be with you. The proof of his power was not just when he walked on water. The proof of his power was when he sat on a well. Did you hear me better online than they heard me in this room? Because if you got that, you got the whole message. He didn't just prove it by walking on water, which he did. He proved it by sitting on a well. Sometimes he walks on water. Sometimes he is water. But I declare.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us look at the next instruction. We're at Proverbs 25, verse 2. And of course, I am going to reiterate, as I do from time to time, the instruction is identical to the reading, and this is the instruction. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. And what this is telling us is that God is the one, and I mentioned in the beginning that the Bible is written in mysteries or in codes. So it's God who is doing this on purpose, for his purpose. And it's for us to search it out and to find out what is God's calling and what is God's will for us. This is what Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2 says. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So we must realize that we are a product of our Creator. And our Creator has determined, more especially because of the fall in the garden, that we must search him out. And this is what Proverbs or Deuteronomy gives us an understanding of. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we're going to see how Moses referred to this to Israel. Listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. He said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, so that we may all do the words of this law. Now, Moses is telling us this, and he completes the thought in verse 1 through 4 by saying, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. My brothers and sisters, remember this is the second covenant. And you know what happened in the first covenant. Israel disobeyed. Okay? Verse 2, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and unto all of his servants, and unto all of his land, the great temptations which thy eyes have seen, and the signs, and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and to see, and hear unto this day. Now, again, it's because of sin that we are caught in this situation where God's glory is concealed from us now. Before Adam fell, the glory was of before him and Eve. But after he fell, then that glory was concealed. And this is what Deuteronomy is telling Israel. Even so, afterwards, it happened to Israel in the desert. And there were two covenants made with Israel. The first at Mount Sinai or at Horeb, and the second was at in the land of Moab. Now listen to what the book of Acts says about this, and we're going to see that today, comparing and agreeing what the writer wrote in the book of Acts, that gives us the connecting dot. In the book of Acts, chapter 1 through 4, listen to what the writer says. It says, it's chapter 17, verse 1 through 4. Now when they had passed through Anemonopolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must need have suffered and risen from again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great number of the multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Now verse 10 continues the thought, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And verse 17, or verse 11, completes the thought, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. This is telling us, my brothers and sisters, that because of who we are today, we hear the word from others, we must search the Scriptures to ensure that what we're hearing is accurate. And that's why I do Old Testament to New Testament, and I do New Testament to Old Testament to substantiate what is being taught. So if they both agree, then that is more emphatic than just one standing on its own, because we need God and his son. They do not stand alone. They stand together. And this is the reason that I do it. And this is what Solomon is saying: when the glory of God has been concealed from us because of sin, and we must search him out. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we must always seek, always knock. We must always ask in the name of Jesus Christ to find out what we need to know about what it is we are to do. My precious brothers and sisters, that is so significant for us to realize. Okay, let's go down to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. We're going to look at verse 4 this time in Proverbs chapter 25. And listen to what the instruction says. And again, the instruction is going to be almost exactly like the scripture I'm going to read. The instruction is, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And of course, we know these parables, or I should say these proverbs, are written in code. So you have to realize what Solomon is telling us. And of course, we get a better understanding of what he just said. First, I'll read the verse to you, This is what he said in Proverbs 25, verse 4. Proverbs 25, verse 4 says this, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. All right? And, of course, we know what that is telling us, that we must be cleaned up in order for us to know the secret mysteries of the kingdom of God and what we are supposed to do for God. We can't come into him sin-filled and not cleansed from our sins before we are able to understand what we are supposed to be doing this side of eternity for Jesus Christ, all right, and for God. Now, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 1 that's going to give us a particular, it's going to go into detail. I see that we're at our last pause for tonight. Let's take that break and then we'll continue.
You know, I don't do too many of these. I don't know who this is for type post. But I'm out here golfing. Sometimes I'll actually miss a shot, shank it a little bit, and it'll actually go closer to the hole. Then when I learn from my mistake and I hit it better, the actual results, the landing spot for the ball is not so good. So last time I did that, said to myself, or perhaps the Spirit said to me, immediate results are not always evidence of progress, or progress is not always shown in the immediate results. So I don't know who this is for, but I just want to say, if you just started doing something right, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started dating correctly, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started praying fervently and without ceasing for something, you finally gave it to the Lord for once, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. Progress is happening and it will show in the long run.
If someone were to ask you who is Denzel Washington, you would say, he's a great actor. I would say, no, that's what he does, but that's not who he is. If someone were to ask you who was Aretha Franklin, you would probably say she's a great singer. And again, I would say, no, that's what she did. But that's not who she was. Because we think that identity and activity are synonymous. There are many Americans right now that have lost their jobs. And for many, their identity was wrapped in what they did. And I want to encourage you and remind you that you are not a human doing, but a human being. Because your identity is not in what you do. It is in who he says you are. So I need for you to get up right now and remember everything he says about you. Right now, get up and be. Let's go. Man, I want to say this humbly. Man, we got to stop sounding like broken records when we keep going to the Lord about the same thing, the same way. Over and over and over again. It ain't really about the conversation and the time with God. We just want God to help and fix it. But instead of God so busy wanting to fix it, a lot of times God is wanting to fix me. And so he will use it as the tool to fix me. So the thing that we're wanting him to remove and to deliver that we keep going over and over and over about, like he don't know. He knows. And he also know it is the thing that gets you on your knees quicker. And so whatever pushes you to your knees is good. For his glory and for your good. Because he loves you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And we know what that's telling us, that we clean ourselves up, and we are better enabled to show the glory of God in our lives. And this is what Isaiah says about this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 24. 2:28. Listen to what Isaiah says. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hands upon thee and purely purge away the dross and take away thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the city of faith. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. My precious brothers and sisters, what the prophet is telling Israel is that when they are refined, when they are repented, then he will come in and he will restore them to greatness. Now let's go to John. We're going to compare and agree. And we're going to go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. And here is what Jesus says. And this is, again, telling us how important refinement is. And after refinement, it shall be glorious. Listen to what Jesus instructed Nicodemus. This is what chapter 1 says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Listen, my brothers and sisters, here is the dross that we must have removed. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must be cleansed from our sins. We know that Jesus gave us example, not only example, Jesus is our standard. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And Jesus told John the Baptist in the Jordan River, when John the Baptist told Jesus that he should not be baptizing him, Jesus told John the Baptist, we must do this to fulfill all righteousness. And so that is what we're looking at. We need to follow Jesus. And Jesus says to remove that dross, that sin that is upon us, we must be born again. And he continued in verse 4. He said, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. My precious brothers and sisters, we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That is what takes away the dross. If we are just baptized in water, that is only getting wet. But the Spirit, as we saw when Jesus came out of the water, was in the form of a dove over his head. And there was a voice came from heaven that said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We must realize that we must go into the water to begin with for the water's sake of being born again. And then we must wait on the Spirit to be anointed on us. And we know from the example of the apostles, this did not happen for them until Pentecost. So you see the criticality here, that there's two elements to being born again, of the water and of the Spirit. And so verse 6 continues, it says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is one that is born of the Spirit. So that is the key. You will not know if you are born of the Spirit until you have started receiving the gifts and fruits of God. My brothers and sisters, that is so critical to note. And we can start from what Paul taught about the gifts of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we can also add to that the fruits of God that Paul identified in Galatians. And I believe it was chapter 4 in Galatians, verse 22 and 23. I believe that's accurate. It might not be, but the book of Galatians tells us of the fruit. And that's when we know that we have been born of the Spirit too. That is critical. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we must repent from our sins in order to be refined and regenerated. My precious brothers and sisters, we need to know this to be the truth, that in order for us to come to God, we must come by way of his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus not only is the author and finisher of our faith, he is the author of our eternal salvation. And he said that we must be born again in order to be refined. So this is something that we must accomplish. And I would say to my listeners out there, it is accomplished as you are drawn to perform it. And don't just let me tell you that you must be born again and the Spirit is not drawing you to be born again. I will reiterate that. Don't let me just tell you, even though Scripture commands it, you follow that which is within you, and it will let you know when it is time for you to be born again. And I'll give you a personal experience that I had with a study that I was being a part of, and I was being shown Scripture. And when I agreed to what I was being shown at each interval, meaning that it was a five-day study, and at the end of each day, I was asked if I believed what I was being taught, and I said I was believing what I was being taught, and immediately I was told, well, you need to be baptized. But the Spirit within me was not giving me that urge, and so I did not become baptized until I was led by the Spirit to be baptized. Because let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, God adds you to the body of Christ. No group, no man adds you to the body. And so you must go accordingly to that. Now, this completes the study for this evening. And as we are about to close, the host and I, as we always do, would like to tell you that we appreciate and bless you for your participation and for your continued encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.